It is true that we think more readily of God's intense activity than of his rest. We are less surprised to hear Christ say, "My Father is at work until now, and I am at work as well," John 5:17, than we are to read these words, "God's rest," Hebrews 4:10. Reflection on love can help us to interpret these words correctly. At first sight, because love is a reaching out, a desire, it seems contrary to rest. But reaching out and desire are not the whole of love. They are impelled toward a goal, communion. In communion, love becomes repose. This repose is not the exhaustion of the reaching out and the desire, but their unfolding in calm, joyous ecstasy. This is true even within the life of the triune God. The Father and the Son love each other with an infinite love. They reach out to one another with immense, irrepressible mutual desire, are united, and rest in the unity of the Holy Spirit. That is why the Holy Spirit has been called repose by the Church Fathers. Indeed, this repose of the Father and the Son is not the extinction of their love. In it, this love finds consummation and fulfillment in infinite, eternal exaltation. If all love aspires to rest, and finds fulfillment in it, how can we attain to God's spiritual rest here on earth? I'd like to give you some insight into the answer. The love relationship between the Christian and Christ is, like all love, first of all a matter of reaching out and desire. It tends towards its perfect fulfillment, repose in closeness with the beloved. The book of Revelation says so in concrete terms, "Here I stand, knocking at the door. If anyone hears me calling and opens the door, I will enter his house and have supper with him, and he with me," RV 3:20. In John's Gospel, Christ expresses the same truth in less concrete but stronger and terser terms, "You in me, and I in you," John 14:20. So we see that already here on earth, Jesus Christ wants to give us a foretaste of God's rest, by uniting us to himself. Anyone who faithfully practices mental prayer cannot fail to experience this, at least at times. As a proof of this, the spiritual writers speak to us of a form of mental prayer called prayer of quietude, prayer of rest. Listen to what one of these writers has to say. "When the soul presents itself for mental prayer, even if it comes with the intention of concentrating on some specific subject, it at once finds itself, without knowing how, recollected within that self, with a sweet sense of our Lord's presence. It is true that this sentiment is not very distinct. But its sweetness persuades the soul that the one it loves is near and comes to express God's love, and it must therefore think only of enjoying the happiness offered to it." Father Joseph B. Kadaklarevere, S.J. And in the measure that the Christian succeeds in praying without French Jesuit, 1735-1820. Ceasing, in accordance with Christ's command, he can very well live without ever leaving God's rest, even amid a life of feverish activity. Let us go farther still. This Christ toward whom we are reaching out, and whom we desire, is not content to welcome us into his close friendship. He wants to sweep us up into the arms of the Father, in an incoercible surge of love. And so the soul that is malleable in God's hands is introduced into the intimacy, the communion of love, between the Father and the Son. This communion is the Holy Spirit. For tradition has given these names to the Holy Spirit: repose, feast, jubilation, and eternal acclamation of the love of the Father and of the Son. You may well answer, "You are making me dizzy. I'm a long way off from that kind of holiness." I agree, but isn't the repose that you experience in your mental prayer already a first step on the road to God's rest?